You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Well, you've reached the end of your work week, and hopefully you're having some fun. Were you one of the many thousands over at Jazz Fest yesterday as you had the Rolling Stones hanging out and having a good time? Got a fun show lined up, and we are going to cover a handful of things. As you know, it is Friday, so we're definitely going to have a little fun with that. As Rebecca welcomes you, as always. The other element is we have a handful of guests for you coming up. As we got some Saints news, and a handful of Zooms took place over the last couple of days from the undrafted rookie free agents, and there is a lot of chatter about just how to feel about some of these undrafted rookie free agents, and more importantly, how happy, I guess, certain Saints fans are specifically about apparently the greatest tight end of all time. Just saying. When it comes to that, we will touch on that here as well, as we do have a lot to talk about. Ross Jackson, Locked On Saints, is going to join us at 12:15. At 12:30, Will Guillory. There was some interesting news, or I guess things that took place with Patrick Beverly yesterday that is getting national attention. You just heard it waiting for the show here as well, but I'm asking a producer for ESPN if she subscribed to his podcast. If not, can't talk. Can't even stand in a circle around that. How you feel about that here as well? We'll touch on it. Plus, CBS Sports has a story. Apparently, more bowls, not less bowls, is something that the, I guess, NCAA and schools want to do in order to help their cause. Because you have 12 teams now going to the playoff, maybe eventually 16, so that makes the bowls less. Anyway, I'll explain that here coming up a little bit. Ralph Marlboro is going to join us at 1:05. He couldn't on Wednesday. He will today at 1 to talk a little bit about, of course, his thoughts on the draft. We haven't heard at all. All he's been wanting was Saints news in the offseason. Then the draft comes, so let's see what his thoughts are here as well. And is he one of those Saints fans that can't wait to talk about the undrafted rookie free agents? Everyone loves the undrafted rookie free agents. That's how it works. Which one's going to make the team? Which one's going to make the impact? Things of that nature. Rafael Esparza is going to join us at 1:15 because the Kentucky Derby is this weekend. You got the Oaks today here as well, so we'll talk to him about some odds and things that you can enjoy from a gambling perspective. Plus, we do still have some NBA games. Jeff Boggs at 1:45 is going to join us from ESPN Bet to go over that, and Rafael will give you some of his takes coming up over the weekend here as well. Corey Glore is going to join us, voice of the Tulane Green Wave. He will also talk to us about, well, you know, Tulane baseball, as we will talk a little bit about that. I know it's raining back home in New Orleans. I'm up here in Mississippi, but we are keeping an eye on the weather over there as well. Looks like it should be done in early in the afternoon, so it shouldn't affect the game tonight, and it is an artificial surface, so the turf should be just fine for that. Marlon Favorite at 2:15 is going to join us. He wants to specifically talk about Trevor Penning and some conversations he's had and what he thinks about what the Saints should do with him or not, and we'll move on with that. Plus, Leo Haggerty will join us at 2:30. As always, Hour 1 is brought to you by No Wake Outfitters. NoWakeOutfitters.com is the way to go check out all of the things Jonathan and them do, as they'll take care of you. Fly fishing, the rods, the reels, more importantly, the kayaks here as well. So those are all things that you can go check them out. 1926 Airline Drive over in Metairie. Give us a buzz. It is an open segment here. We'll mix in your phone calls throughout. Buddy will take your phone calls over in the LaRose studios on the Ruderman Can hotline and guest line. RuderManCan.com. If you have any plumbing issues, water issues, anything that you think you would need plumbing, they will take care of it. If you go to RuderManCan.com You can see all the services that they have there as well. And don't forget, the lead is always brought to you by Lakeview Massage and Therapy and Upper Cervical Family Chiropractic, the good doctor, Josh Roulette. Looking forward to seeing him soon over there and all of the services they do as well. So we got a handful of different topics that we can start out with the lead here as well. And I guess one of them we will start out with will be the Saints making a maybe non-move, if that makes any sense.
The lead. The lead. Here's what's topping our headlines on the Sports Hangover.
All right, so the Saints yesterday did not pick up the fifth-year option on Peyton Turner. Why is that a big deal? Why is it not a big deal? However you want to look at it. Well, he's a first-round pick. And look, you've kind of heard me talking a little bit about it going into the draft, even after the draft here as well. And yesterday, when we were at the deli over at Francesca, I'm completely down and like the first two picks that they had, right? I mean, we've been talking about it. The last thing you could have, the last thing you want is projects. No projects in rounds one and two. Ross Jackson, we're going to talk to next segment. He's like, I'm down with projects on Saturday. Fifth-round picks, those are projects. Those are guys you can develop, special teams players, maybe in a year or two, can push for starting jobs. And I agree with him on that. I think that's a really good way to look at things. That's why so many people, I think, are excited to see what comes of Spencer Rattler and, look, Bub Means, players like that. But picks one and two, they have to start. They have to be guys that come in and start on this team. And, again, you've heard me say it before. However you want to look at it, whatever word you want to use, that likely will start with R-E. Retooling, reshaping, re-implementing, resupplying, re-whatever. They don't like to use rebuilding, so fine, we won't use it. But they're doing re-something. You have to restock speed, athleticism, playmaking on the Saints offense and defense. You just have to. You have to accept that and do that. So they're going about their business in doing that, which is why I keep saying I just take tidbits from here and there and try to see a theme or what it is that they're kind of sort of doing or whatever, right? And what I mean by that is when you look at what Jeff Ireland said back at the Combine, hey, we're sitting here, and after that first Combine day, we're looking at the players that we interviewed, and I sat with Clint Kubiak. Hey, who are the players that you like for your offense? They're bringing in a whole new offensive side of the football from the coaching staff side, a whole new philosophy, you know, a whole new way of playing. Offensive line, not as much pass blocking. It's a run-based offense. What I mean by that is maybe the guys that you draft or acquire through free agency or however you grab them, those guys are – you want them to be more physical, run-blocking linemen as opposed to pass-blocking guys. This is an offense that's going to be, hey, Derek Carr, ball's out of your hands in less than 3 seconds, 2 seconds, one, right? A lot of motion. Just think of the 49ers offense and what they've done. Peterman and Mond, quarterbacks they bring in to help Derek Carr and understand the offense because they've been in it. So all of that, I was telling Scott, Chef Scott, yesterday, that just tells me this isn't a – look, they do hope to compete. They do hope to implement this. They do hope for it to work this year. I'm not saying that they're looking at this as a wash. But I do think, as a fan base, at least I am, I'm looking at this as the start of the building process to make this offense what it is. Obviously, Breeze's final years, even into Sean's final year, and obviously why the organization did what they did in keeping Pete Carmichael, they were trying to continue and keep an offense that got here, you know, 2010. So 2006, I mean, it culminated in 2010 with the Super Bowl, but it's years in the making, right? I mean, the Saints did, in Sean's first year, get to the NFC Championship game. They were a 10-win team. I think the Saints can push for 7 to 10 wins, a tougher schedule, and things like that. But my point is the finished product, I don't think anyone expects, and I don't think you should, expect this offense to be the finished product. You don't have the players to run this philosophy and this scheme perfectly, like, say, the 49ers and teams that have run this offense that have had seasons, drafts, free agency periods to restock, reshape, implement what they want to do. That's why I'm looking at this as the process, right? A year or two. I mean, I think that's the right way to look at it. So when I look at it from that perspective, that's what stinks. If there's a smelly element to those first round picks, is the fact that, man, what if Trevor would have hit? And he still can, maybe. And look, I'm going to bring it up again with Ross Jackson, because he was one of the first ones to say, look, this style of offense may suit Trevor Penning, right? As John likes to make fun of him, the mauler, the big guy. And when we did see him on the field at times, his best plays are probably in the run game, right? Mauling people, pushing him, making holes. Even when he got hurt, it was on a touchdown run when she opened up a hole. So what if he can implement there? But look, you're having to use that pick at 14 on a tackle that, well, if one would have hit, maybe you don't use it. Or maybe if the team would have had some foresight or would have looked at the fact. And again, I'm not saying that they didn't think or not, but again, I'm just me, and I'm at practice in the last 2 years, and I'm sitting here, I'm like, okay, Ryan Ramczyk is a guy that going into OTAs, going into mini camp, going into training camp, going into the first week of the season, you already know he needs days off. You already know he's not practicing on Wednesdays. You already know he has issues with that. Like, we've known that for 2-3 years, and haven't built or planned for it. So you had to use that pick for that. And again, it's one of those things where you sit there and kind of rub your temple a bit and be like, man, you could have picked the top defensive player, maybe the next Micah Parsons, maybe the next Bosa, maybe the next shutdown corner. I mean, you could have done that, but you couldn't. You couldn't. Somehow, some way, the draft fell to where no defensive players were selected before you had a chance to select at 14, and you could not take a defensive player. You couldn't. You had to select a tackle. It is what it is. Then you go to It Is What It Is Part 2. I love Kool-Aid McKinstry in that, as Nick Underhill wrote and several others that have covered it this week, this guy can play right now. He can come in. It's the perfect guy for the system. Great pick for that because it makes sense the style of defense you like to play. A. B. He's polished. Okay? He's polished. Is he going to have learning experiences in the NFL? Sure. But that's a guy that can come in and help you right now. Comma, as you then hear from guys like Ross Jackson, from Dennis Allen, well, you have a contract year coming up at Paulson Adebo. Is Marshawn Lattimore still on this team or not? The injuries, is it getting up in age? Is there a connection between all of these things? You're drafting a player that instead of just kind of stocking and helping your team, which he is immediately, but you're almost also doing it because you may lose one, if not two. And that's what I'm getting at with this, right? I saw something earlier today that was kind of eye-opening. Jason underscore OTC over on Twitter is an NFL salary cap and contract expert, founder of OverTheCap.com. He's a follow that you have on X, Twitter. So he tweets 2 hours ago, here are the bottom 10 teams for first-round option pickups since the 2018 draft. Remember, we're in 2024. The Chiefs have only had one selection. The Seahawks, zero option rate. In other words, haven't given that fifth-year option. Steelers, 0%. Chiefs, 0%. Raiders, 14%. Titans, 25%. Cardinals, 25%. Eagles, 33%. Saints, 33%. Commanders, Vikings at 40%. And John Sigler from Saints Wire, we're going to have him on next week. He said, not only that, but just seven of the 19 first-round picks that Mickey Loomis has made as a GM have signed extensions with the Saints. If Peyton Turner doesn't sign an extension, it'll be 7 of 20. I want you to think about that for a second. Because I went through that period where everyone in the world was like, oh, it's the Greenbrier. It's not hot enough. The team can't. They're not being challenged. It had absolutely nothing to do with the scenery or the weather. The reason the Saints had three straight 7-9 seasons is because they drafted poorly. The free agent signings were not good. You've got to hit in the draft. Not just starters, but backups, special teams players, you name it. You've got, those guys have got to be on your team. Your first round picks, now I know it's a crapshoot, but first round picks have got to play for you. if you're not signing them to an extension or giving them the options, that means they're not any good. Again, do any of us disagree on the Saints picking up his fifth-year option? No. Look, hopefully, he's healthy, which he hadn't been. He performs, which he hasn't. And you have an answer at right defensive end and a pass rusher. But right now, the overwhelming odds stacking against that happening are pretty high. That's another first-round pick that you didn't give the extent. You didn't do it for Marcus Davenport. Same position. Like, these are massive misses. There's a reason the Saints have gone from a Super Bowl contending team to, while they don't say it, rebuilding. 7 of 20 first-round picks not earning an extension. Like, think of that. Those are big misses, man. Quick break. When we come back, Ross Jackson will join us as Hour 1 is up and running here on ESPN New Orleans. Thank you for tuning us in on this Friday. We'll be back on ESPN New Orleans. Lakeview Massage and Therapy is a must for recovery, getting rid of pesky pain, or to simply relax. It's part of Upper Cervical Family Chiropractic and Wellness, so this isn't a neon sign place. They have specialists performing work geared specifically to you. Rejuvenate with a 60, 90, or 120-minute session of Himalayan salt stone, injury and recovery, lymphatic detox, pre- and postnatal, post-mastectomy movement, traditional therapeutic massages, and ashiatsu. I've had that. You want to try it. Trust me. LakeviewMassageAndTherapy.com for info where recovery meets relaxation. Welcome to No Wake Outfitters, located in Metairie, just east of Causeway Boulevard, your one-stop fly shop kayak and sportsman outfitters. You can check out our new kayak demos and our new pool and sea casting demonstrations. We have a new selection of functional and comfortable apparel from your favorite brands for the cooler weather. And our dedicated staff is here and ready to provide you with the knowledge to make an informed purchase. Come on in to check out some of our exclusive brands, such as Rugged Road, Turtle Box, Orvis, New Canoe, Old Town, and oh yeah, New Canoe 2022 kayaks are now 20% off. No Wake Outfitters, 1926. 6 Airline Drive in Metairie.
Make this summer the summer in a new 2024 Mitsubishi Outlander or Outlander plug-in hybrid. With its premium interior, 2 years limited maintenance included, and an industry-leading warranty. Drive home today starting at $28,395. The moment is now at Barker Mitsubishi.
Super Bowl controls and available feature on all trim levels. Manufacturer suggested retail price. Excludes destination handling, tax, title, license, dealer charges, and options. All supplies last. Limited availability of participating dealers may require placing an order and cause a delay in delivery. Detailer price, terms, and vehicle availability may vary. See your local Mitsubishi retailer for details.
This is Neil Small Engines here. Listen up. That's what we did at Gravely. We listened to lawn professionals, then we brought that professional performance home. Gravely Residential Zero Turn Mowers show the neighborhood that you mean business. Zero turns that are tough as nails. Operator comfort beyond compare. We have had over 100 years of professional advice to perfect cutting performance. Just drop the deck and put the neighbors on notice. Gravely, driven from within. At Neil Small Engine with 3 locations, Houma, Thibodeau, and Cutoff.
It's here, the 2024 NOLA Gold Rugby season. New head coach Corey Brown has the boys focused on earning a spot in the playoffs, and we want you at the Gold Mine. Every home game is an event with families in mind, and after the whistle, head to the party shack, mingle with players, and collect autographs. Don't miss Major League Rugby and entertainment at an affordable price. Get your tickets now and be a part of NOLA Gold Rugby. Secure yours at NOLAGoldRugby.com.
Can we talk sports?
Real sports.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
As always, appreciate the time Mr. Ross Jackson gives us. A very busy man at Ross Jackson. NOLA is the way to give a follow on X. You should already. And you absolutely better be listening to Locked On Saints. Sir, good afternoon on this Friday. How are you? Hello, Ross.
Buddy, I don't know if I didn't get connected right or anything, but I'm not hearing anything.
There you go. Hey, Ross, can you hear me?
Hey, there we go. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Hey, man, how are we?
Oh, doing great, doing great. Thanks for having me on.
All right, man, let's start kind of with what I opened up here. Peyton Turner didn't get his fifth-year option picked up by the team. I don't think anyone's really surprised on that. The point that I was making as I saw a couple of people posting, I was mentioning John Sigler from Saints Wire here as well. If he doesn't get that extension, 7 of 20 first-round picks, man, wouldn't have. That's pretty telling. And I mean, like, first-round picks, those guys got to stay on the team. And look, and they're for different reasons, right, Ross? Because some guys don't pan out. And then you have other guys that aren't first-round picks, too. Like I was bringing up during the show yesterday at the deli, you got guys like Trey Hendrickson and other guys on this team, even Marcus Williams, that for one reason or another, because of the cap, because of the lack of money you have, you can't keep. That all adds as to why the Saints are kind of where they are right now in the NFL.
Yeah, it's part of it for sure. I mean, I think that there's other big bits to it as well. I mean, I think looking at it just through the scale and just through the lens of what has happened with the New Orleans Saints versus comparing it to the rest of the NFL and how first-round picks typically don't pan out, it's not super surprising to hear 7 of 20. 7 of 20 is actually only 7 of 20 end up panning out or don't pan out, then that's typically actually a pretty good hit rate. And so I think it's just kind of like looking at it relative to what the rest of the NFL is doing, as opposed to like relative of the expectations of a 100% hit rate, which is pretty unfathomable and really not realistic. And so I think that, you know, you think about all the teams that have taken swings at quarterbacks in the top five, multiple, you know, top eight picks, things like that, like for the Atlanta Falcons, for instance, and then those things not necessarily panning out. It's not super surprising. And I think that when it comes to a Peyton Turner situation here, yeah, you're not going to pick up the fifth-year option there. And hopefully he's able to show that he can stay healthy and stay on the field here in 2024. But I think really like the case-by-case basis comes down to, do these guys have the talent? And if they do, can they stay on the field to prove it? If you can't answer yes to both those questions, you're not getting a second contract.
Yeah, no doubt. And look, that remains an area of we'll see, right? At right defensive end in trying to do that. Mm-hmm. I know they brought in Chase Young. He had surgery. You have this. But look, we've seen those flashes, though, when we're out there. Ross, whether it's OTAs or camp, when he's healthy, mm-hmm. I mean, he looks the part. It's just a matter about literally staying on the field with him.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, I mentioned those two questions. Do you have the talent, and can you stay on the field to show it? Peyton Turner is answering yes pretty often to the do you have the talent part of the question. The issue is that he's not able to stay on the field to show it, right? And so I think you got to be able to answer yes to both of those questions. But there's absolutely no doubt. I mean, even from his first season, you kind of see the immediate impact that he was having early on. But unfortunately, you know, injuries and things like that have kind of derailed his opportunities to be able to be out there and continue to do what it is that he's proven that he can do. And so you hope that in 2024 that can change, you know, and that he can stay healthy and he can stay on the field and everything, because when he's out there, he's managed to make some plays and be disruptive.
Saints made available a lot of their undrafted rookie free agents this week in some Zoom calls. So I want to touch on that with you here as well, because there seems to be a lot of excitement about some of those as well from some fans, including a Tulane product and apparently the greatest tight end of all time. But we'll get to that in a quick second, Ross. But I want you to kind of bring back something I've mentioned several times that you brought up a couple weeks ago when you stopped by on a Thursday to Katie's. And you mentioned this offensive scheme and philosophy and how it may help a guy like Trevor Penning. Do you remember going back to that and why maybe this scheme and how they use offensive linemen may actually benefit a guy like Penning and what he does have talent-wise?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, look, I think the things that could end up helping him out is that, you know, it's the typical play of a wide zone offense really wants athletic offensive linemen to be on the move. Trevor Penning is kind of at his best when he's on the move, and he struggles the most when he's kind of, you know, backing up and working into pass sets and things like that. But he tends to, you know, excel in those situations where either he's running full head of steam at somebody or he's executing, you know, sort of those run protections and run blocks. And again, in the wide zone offense, you're going to be asked to run block quite a bit because it's a heavy run system, right? So I think you got to be ready for that part as well. So I think both of those things end up helping out. But I'll tell you what, I asked Brian Baldinger about this a little bit as well when he visited with us after the first night of the draft, or maybe second night. Yeah, it was the second night of the draft. And he had a real, you know, real clear sort of point that, like, yes, this could help him, but he still has to be able to block the guy in front of him. So he still has to take some steps ahead as well. But the scheme certainly should put him in a position to be able to kind of start to lay down those building blocks a little bit more adequately.
Very good point. Let's go through the undrafted rookie free agents here as well, because, look, I think a lot of times people look at the draft picks, and that's a big element of it too. But historically, especially with this team, not only does one or two make the roster, but that bulk of your, you know, practice squad players, guys that develop mm-hmm. eventually, guys that go on as special teams, an element that is just as important as the starting unit, come from this, right? And the Saints kind of They threw some money out there specifically to a couple of players. When you look at the undrafted rookie free agent class, who are some of the players that stand out to you, Ross?
Yeah, you know, we got to start with the big name that everybody's already excited about, Dallin Holker, right? The greatest tight end of all time.
Greatest tight end of all time, yes.
I think he's a really exciting guy. I mean, he's an exciting prospect for sure. He has a lot of versatility as an F-move tight end, a guy you can move around the formation, could take snaps out of the backfield, the slot, in line, and out wide. I think that's an exciting thing that the New Orleans Saints really could benefit from, whether they benefit from it right away or benefit from it in 2025, which might be post Taysom Hill days. I think there's opportunity there to really benefit from a guy that's able to kind of move around that way if he's able to have an impact. He's got to be able to show that he can develop a little bit more as a blocker, though, because it can't be a dead giveaway when he's on the field, right, how he's going to be utilized. So that would be a big part of kind of what he has to show. Up next, another guy that I really like is Nathan Latu, the edge rusher coming out of Oklahoma State. 6'4", 250, just has a lot of determination about him and in his game. He can rush with his hand in the dirt, he can defend the run, and he can rush out of a two-point stance. I think you want to see him develop a little bit more of his hand fighting and his pass rushing moves, but getting him partnered up with a Cam Jordan who has you know, a similar run style, a rush style, that could work out really, really well for him. So he's another one that I'm looking out for. And then I really like Isaiah Stalbert, the South Dakota State University linebacker. He's coming in. He's going to be playing linebacker, but he's played some safety as well. He's kind of a smaller guy, but for a linebacker. So we'll see exactly how it is that he pans out. But man, he is athletic as all get out. He's fast, he can move, he can jump, he's got great range, all these other things, and he's a pretty solid tackler to boot. So I'm really interested to see him all throughout camp and figure out where he might find his way to fit in.
I think one of the things you just brought up, safety too, I got a couple of calls this week of, I guess when you look at the draft and you look at free agency, where do you put the Saints safety position group other than, say, Tyrann Mathieu?
Yeah, I think that they could still potentially look to find a bona fide starter there. I mean, would I have any issues with the team going in with Jonathan Abram as their starter next to Tyrann Mathieu? Not if he plays the way that he did the last two games of last season. Absolutely not. You feel pretty good about that. But, is that going to be the way that the Saints go between competition between he and Jordan Howden and some of the other safeties that they've added? Now they have Will Harris in the building, who has a lot of versatility, who can play, in the box, in the slot, deep. You play a whole bunch of different spots. I think that they've got some candidates there, but if they wanted to go and find a bona fide guy like a Justin Simmons or something like that, then certainly that can help them. So I think that there's still some need there or some want there. I think that's not necessarily a must any longer like it was going into the draft, especially after signing Will Harris, but I still think that that's a position where they could do some work, yeah, for sure.
I've gotten a couple of calls this week about Andres Pete. Do the Saints, or should the Saints, give him a call and bring him back?
Yeah, they could. I mean, it's interesting. Andres has only gotten one visit that we know of throughout his free agency process. That was Tennessee Titans. The Saints have already given away his number. Taliese Fuanga already wearing number 75, going into rookie minicamps as well.
Well, there's the answer.
And so, and then obviously, those aren't permanent, right? Those change all the time in the offseason and everything like that. So, it doesn't really say anything. But it's just interesting that, Andres Pete isn't a guy that has found a landing spot just yet. We'll see, though, now that the draft is done, maybe there's a real opportunity to kind of identify, okay, here's where real possibilities are and real opportunities are. But right. If I'm the Saints, I'm totally fine with, giving him a call back, and seeing if you're able to get him back on the roster to where he can give you some depth at guard and at tackle, or potentially even a starter at left guard, because it looks like you're still looking to figure out what you might be able to do at that position as well.
No doubt. I did get a text earlier this week here about Sincere Haynesworth. Obviously, we're familiar with him here at Tulane and seeing him, his leadership and his relationship with Michael Pratt and things of that nature. Could that be somebody that eventually, gives you a little depth on the offensive line?
Yeah, he could get there. I think the one thing that you're concerned about with him is just size. Like, it's not really about, if it were a question of natural ability, skill, talent, stuff like that, the guy's got it in droves, and he's, got phenomenal leadership and great character, all those other things. The biggest thing is he going to be able to, especially somebody that not only plays on the interior or plays along the interior, but also, could be a center at the next level. The big thing with him is, does his size work on the inside at 6 foot 300? That is going to be the big thing. And so if he can show that, then sure. But I think that he would be a little bit of an outlier at the position, particularly at that height. And look, the NFL is a spot where outliers don't always pan out. That's why they are outliers. So we'd have to see exactly what's able to happen with him, but he'll get a fair shake with the New Orleans Saints. That's for certain.
Final question for you, sir. And again, thanks for your time today on this Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Based off of your interactions, your comments, your texts, your tweets, what have you, a week ago, right, we were going into round two. So in 1 week's time, how would you summarize, or is there a player that's like over here, man, so many people really are interested in what Spencer Rattler might eventually be, right? I'll give you an example. I think everyone loves Kool-Aid. I think they're happy with what they did to tackle. I think people feel good about the draft. How would you kind of summarize your mentions and reactions from Saints fans in a week?
It's the most positive week of Saints fandom I think I've seen in a little while. And it's been really nice to see. I love that for fans, that they have that optimism and that there is something there that at least gives them, if not optimism, then maybe a sense of curiosity about, you know, where things can go. I think the thing that I urge a lot of people to think about when it comes to what their expectations are coming into the season is that, first of all, there's no reason, there's nothing wrong with having high expectations. There's nothing wrong with having a high standard for what you want to see this thing do. But when it comes down to kind of developing that expectation, don't forget about the massive changes over on the offensive coaching staff. Feels to us like we're so far past that on now, even though we haven't actually seen any of it, you know? So not only is it the draft class, not only is it are the free agents that they brought in and will be bringing in. I think another thing that's kind of, you know, up there in terms of bolstering expectations a bit is that there's some expectations that this offense is going to take a lot of steps forward simply because of its change of scheme and sort of its change of direction. So I would just, you know, urge people to get that back into the factor as well, because for me, that's another reason for some optimism or at least heightened expectations for this team going into 2024. And then if they can't match those expectations, then there would be, you know, another conversation at that point. But
yeah.
Until then, you don't have to worry about that right now.
Yeah, I kind of tempered it in that opening segment, Ross, and kind of along the lines of what you're saying. It's a building process, I think, for me. It's a learning process, and it's also not just this isn't a 2-3 month Band-Aid sort of thing. You got a lot of people learning a new system, and I do think you've seen from this organization, from the heads up, or I guess upstairs, of trying to grab players that are going to work best in the system. That doesn't happen in 2 months. That doesn't happen in one draft cycle. That doesn't happen in one free agency period.
Yep, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. It's all about sort of putting all the pieces together. And then now we'll have to see, you know, how quickly they all are able to grasp the new system and everything like that. But the thing to keep in mind, even with all of that, is that, yeah, there'll be a new system coming in, but that system's still going to be tailor-made for these players. And it's still going to be tweaked to fit these players. It's not going to be something to where you're going to these players and asking them to do things outside of their strengths. You're bringing some core concepts in, and then you're layering on top of that and building on top of that with what it is that your team and what your roster does at its best and what players do at their best. And then they have, you know, a full, you know, couple of weeks in California to figure it all out together.
Yeah.
Where they're all going to be, you know, waking up, watching football, going to sleep watching football, then and practicing football all day, and they'll all be around each other all the time. And I think that could potentially help them out with that sort of learning curve as well.
That's a great point. Of all seasons, going away for camp might actually be the best thing for them. At Ross Jackson knows the way to give a follow over on X, Locked On Saints. You should already be doing both and following him. Thank you so much for your time, man. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you, bud. You take care. Stay safe, and I'll talk to you soon.
Same as you. Same to you, rather. Will Guillory
of The
Athletic joins us next to talk not only about the Pelicans, but also the rest of the NBA. And does he subscribe to the Pat Beverly podcast? We'll ask him next on ESPN New Orleans.
Hello, friends and family. Back again to talk about Dufresne Building Materials. Did you know that we have a new updated online order system called Dufresne Easy Buy? Come see us at DufresneLumber.com to check it out and get you started with a free quote. We now have 8 convenient locations to serve you, which include Cutoff, Thibodeau, Luling, Belchase, Araby, Slidell, Gulfport, and Grand Isle. And no matter how big we grow as a company, we promise to keep that local family business feel and welcome you with a smile. So come give the local guys a try and experience the Dufresne difference.
This is Greeny with Mike Greenberg.
And the barber takes one look down at me and he says, "Would you like us to wax your nostrils?" I said, "What the hell, let's do this."
What?
Come on.
I don't know why I didn't realize how much it was going to hurt.
Oh.
He yanks out that first one. Nothing has ever hurt like that in my life. It's astonishing. I'm begging him not to do the other one. But he says, no, you got to do it. I came home in tears. I came home literally weeping. I cried like a small kid when they shoot Old Yeller at the end of the movie. Hysterical crying. And I'm asking states for bandages. It bled. I've got blood now. So my advice, if I may, to anyone listening, is if anyone ever says, can I wax any part of you, say no.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg. Weekday mornings at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Plus, you can watch and listen on the ESPN app.
Lady of the Sea Community Pharmacy staff are trained in finding the lowest cost available on your medication. Stop by with your prescriptions or medicine bottles and let one of us review your options with you. With two convenient locations to serve you, we're located in Rouse's Supermarket, Highway 3235 in La Rose, or at Lady of the Sea Medical Clinic in Cutoff. Our staff available Monday through Friday from 8:30 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Saturdays 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
What would you say you do here?
Sports.
Sports.
All day long.
Hello, sports fans.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Here's the Rudiman Can caller and guest line. And on that guest line, Mr. Will Guillory of The Athletic covers the Pelicans, the Heat, the NBA, and just loves to subscribe to different podcasts, including the Pat Beverly podcast. Will Guillory, how are you, sir?
Huge fan of the Pat Bev pod over here, man. Let's do it.
What do you make of that yesterday, man? And for people that have no idea what I'm talking about, Patrick Beverley yesterday was involved in, a couple of incidents after the game. The Bucks lose. He goes to the bench. He throws a basketball at a female fan behind the bench. He requests the ball. He gets it back, flings it back at her. Then in the locker room, this takes place.
You subscribe to my pod?
Do I subscribe to you? I do not subscribe.
So you can't interview me then.
Okay.
No disrespect.
Well, Jamal is here.
You subscribe? Okay, cool. Yeah. That's cool.
Again, there were a couple times within a bucket or two. In previous games, y'all have been able to kind of get over that hump or maybe. Was it anything they did in particular, or was it just one of those where the bucket didn't go down, there wasn't the stop, they made one? What kind of prevented that you all from being able to get over? Like you have in the past.
You move that mic, please, or just get out the circle, please, for me, please, ma'am. If you're not subscribed to my pod, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Will, in all your years of experience, have you ever been asked to not interview or get out of the circle of reporters based off of subscribing to a podcast?
I have not. That was definitely a first for me hearing a story like that. And as crazy as all of that was, it might have been even crazier for the lady to just throw my guy Jamal under the bus. I don't know who Jamal is, but... She's just like, yo, Jamal don't follow the podcast either. I'm like, damn, if I'm Jamal, I'm like, what I got to do with this? This is y'all beat. But nah, I mean, it's just Pat Bev being Pat Bev, man. Whenever we go through this every year with him, whether it's like the year he pushed Chris Paul in the back when they were getting eliminated, he just always got something going on with him, man. Pat Bev loves the attention, loves people talking about him, partially why he has the podcast, even though he's averaging like 5 points a game. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it's just part of the Pat Bev package you get whenever you bring him into town. And I don't think anybody in Milwaukee should be surprised.
Yeah, I think, like I said, that's silly as it is. I know fans, based off of comments and reaction, probably aren't nearly as bent out of shape as maybe people that have to do this for a living like you and I. But him throwing basketballs at fans and stuff like that, I mean, that's probably going to get a little fine.
Oh, yeah. During basketball, that fan, I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up getting suspended, to be honest with you. And I think I speak for all journalists when I say, Pat Bev, if we don't have to interview you, we'll be all right. It'll be just fine. we can get by without the Pat Bev quote.
Yeah, no doubt. Look, and I understand, obviously, there's emotions and stuff like that and being eliminated and things like that. When we look at the playoffs as we're getting closer to going fully into round two, we obviously are still in the middle of recapping what the Pels have done this season. What do you make of this week in the exit interviews, top to bottom, starting with Griff, going all the way to Zion?
Yeah, I mean, they made a little bit of news coming out of the end of season pressers, right? With Griff stepping in front of the mic, just basically telling the world, hey, yeah, this team is going to look different come next year. Mm-hmm. We're tired of complacency. We're tired of the the cohesion and consistency, you know, conversation around this team. We feel like we're ready to win now. And I understand where he's coming from. You know, the point he made was that, you know, you look at the Western Conference, there are 10 teams with 46 wins this year, and that doesn't include San Antonio, Houston, or Memphis. You would anticipate all of those teams being better next year, all 10 of the teams that were in the play-in conversation to be back next year. I mean, the West is going to be brutal, and you got to be ready to not just hold your spot, but to get even better just to have a chance to hold on to the play-in spot that the Pels had. I mean, as rough as it is to say you win 49 games and you almost missed the playoffs, I don't think, you know, that's going to change anytime soon with how good these teams are in the West. So many young stars. So, yeah, I think you got to be aggressive in your pursuit of becoming one of the better teams in the West. And we've seen with Zion Williamson, that guy is good enough to be the best team on a championship contender, the way he was playing at the end of the season. And you got to figure out, you know, at this crossroad, how do you build this team out to make that jump to the top of the West? And can you do it with Brandon Ingram and CJ McCollum? I think that's still up in the air. I've always been one of the bigger believers in Brandon Ingram, but it's hard to deny the way he looked in that playoff series. And, you know, I wouldn't be mad at anybody that feels a little discomfort about giving that guy $50 million after what he did against the Thunder.
One of the things that I find interesting here as well is what you just brought up. And something that David Griffin said is, like, it's not just about the numbers. Is, are you asking the right questions about the numbers? And I don't know if it's just me relating to it, but I kind of used that, and I did the old attachment to the big three, in particular the plus-minus. Will, I don't know how you feel about the plus-minus minutes. You know, can you take a lot out of that or not? But it is kind of startling when people that cover this team say the starters, in particular those three, aren't winning those minutes, and they're negative. Can you explain that to the lay Pels fan? What exactly does that mean, that those three, when they're on the court, they're in the minus, not positive?
Yeah, I think, you know, part of it is what we talked about all year, just the lack of experience. Those three guys playing together and trying to learn how to fit together. And you saw that throughout the course of the season, figuring out how much is Zion on the ball, how much is Brandon Ingram on the ball. And frankly, you know, a big chunk of the season, we saw Zion Williamson that wasn't the Zion we saw in March and April. I mean, he just, you know, during up until the play-in tournament, he just wasn't the Zion that we expected to see coming into this year. And I think the same was true for Brandon Ingram. He wasn't the Brandon Ingram we were used to seeing the previous year. And you heard him in his, you know, final press conference of the year saying, hey, this was the worst year of my time in New Orleans. I think both of those guys had a big chunk of the season where they weren't playing as well. And you saw it reflected in the numbers. I would say my slight pushback against the plus minus numbers, I think the numbers were a lot better after January 1st. That's what I pointed to a lot this year. What were the numbers after January 1st? Mm-hmm. What were the numbers after the play-in tournament? I mean, not the play-in tournament, the in-season tournament, because that was when Zion really turned into Zion. But, I mean, there's no doubt that you got to say, when you have three players of that caliber, you don't want them to just be even. You want them to be plus 12, plus 9, plus 8 per 100 possessions. When you look at the best teams in the league, that's where they are, and that 8 to 12, you know, plus net rating territory, and the Pelicans are in the minus, which is, I think, is a huge concern. But I also think, as much as people pointed to David Griffin's comments about, you know, not being complacent, needing change, he also, one of the quotes that I don't hear people talking about as much is what he said, we have the difference makers here, we just need to find the right pieces to put around them. So I think that could be, you know, a slight sign that he thinks that the big three can work. He's just got to put the right, you know, complementary pieces around them. And maybe that means a change at center. Maybe that means they're bringing a point guard throughout the course of the summer. But I do think, personally, I believe that Brandon Ingram and Zion can win together. I know that's going to be the conversation throughout the whole summer. I still believe in those two guys, especially if you have Zion coming into the season in shape, ready to play from day one. But I do think you got to make some changes to the roster if you want to be a real competitor in the West, just because the teams at the top are so tough to beat. And you got more coming from the bottom.
Well, I know you guys who are at The Athletic, among other outlets, have been posting in the last week, too, that the teams that have spent the most money aren't necessarily exactly advancing like they thought they would into the postseason here as well. Bobby Marks, a GM over there at ESPN, tweeted this morning. And again, you guys have been doing this, and you tweeted a while back about luxury tax teams here as well. But Golden State eliminated. Clippers down 3-2. Phoenix eliminated. This is in order of the most salary. 4 is Boston, still alive. Milwaukee's 5 eliminated. Denver 6. Miami 7 eliminated. Lakers 8 eliminated. New Orleans is 9 eliminated. Philadelphia 10 eliminated. So to the fans that say, we need the max players, we need to go over the luxury tax, is that saying maybe that's not the way to do it?
Yeah, I would say if you look at the numbers, I mean, Golden State and Phoenix, I think, are the two examples, the prime examples of teams that spent a whole lot of money and got zero results for it. And, of course, Matt Ishbia is running around saying the whole league would trade their team for his right. team, which might be even more funny than what Pat Bev is doing right now.
Right.
But, yeah, I think that it's not as simple as, you know, well, just turn into the New York Yankees, pay everybody, and now that'll solve all your problems. I think, you know, obviously you got to build the team the right way. You got to put the right pieces around your stars, and you got to be smart about when you give those big contracts out, who you give them out to. Because you might be stuck with Bradley Beal after you give out that yeah. $200 million contract. And then 2 years down the line, you're looking around saying, how can we get rid of this guy after giving him all that money? So I think, you know, you got to be smart about what you're building, or you got to be smart about how you're using your draft picks. I think that's going to be something we need to keep an eye on, not as much the players, but how are the Pelicans using their draft picks, where they've been very conservative these past few years about those extra picks they got from the Lakers and the Bucks. Are they going to be more aggressive stacking those picks up, maybe throwing even a few of their own picks in there to go out and get somebody, get a new starting center, get a new starting point guard? But, yeah, you're exactly right, Doug. Just because you're a luxury tax team doesn't guarantee you're going to win. And I think there's going to be a whole lot of rejoicing if the Pelicans do become a luxury tax paying team. But that doesn't mean that they're all of a sudden going to start winning. So I think people got to keep that in mind.
Look, I've done the slow walk this week in the parking lot. I didn't run into David Griffin, but let's say you proverbially or hypothetically run into him. And he goes, well, my guy, puts his arm around you. What is your top suggestion that you think the Pelicans need to do or should do to get us over the hump, Will?
They got to get a new starting center. And really, I think rebuild the whole center room, if I'm being honest with you. I think watching them just try to piece things together throughout the end of the season, and in particular that Thunder series, you saw just how much they really just didn't have a guy they believed in. I think they really like Larry Nance. I think they like Jonas Valanciunas in certain matchups. But when you look around the West, you got Chet Holmgren in Oklahoma City. You got Minnesota with Rudy Gobert. You got Jokic in Denver. You got Wemby down in San Antonio. Şengün in Houston. I mean, there are so many good centers around the league. And so many diverse centers. You got to be able to match up with these guys. You need a big center on certain nights. You need a mobile center on certain nights. When you got Zion Williamson, you need a center who can play defense and space the floor a little bit for him. So I think you need to figure out that position, figure out the right guy, someone who you can trust to play 30, 35 minutes in these big games. And in particular, you got to find somebody who's cost-effective if you're going to be paying Brandon Ingram a max contract. If you're going to give Trey Murphy a $100 million contract, I think that's going to be the big question for this team. Because personally, I still believe Brandon Ingram's going to be here. I think it's crazy to give up on him at this point in his career. But if you do make that commitment to him and Trey Murphy, it makes it difficult to find the right starting center. And especially a guy who you can trust to play big minutes against some of these, you know, elite centers who are in the West. So I think that's the number one thing in my mind, that they need to figure out who's that center and how could you get one that doesn't cost you $30 million a year.
10 seconds here. I'm with you. I don't think I just move on from BI, but at the right price. Like, are you giving him $220?
I don't think you have much of a choice, to be honest with you. I think, you know, maybe you could negotiate with him and take a little bit less. But, yeah, I mean, just look what the guy has done for this franchise over the past 5 years. I think it's easy to see what he did against the Thunder. But I would say look at the last 5 years, what he did after that contract he signed after his first year in New Orleans, what he's meant to the franchise, what he's meant to the young players in the locker room. Just giving up on him right now I think would be crazy, and I just don't think it's the right time.
Will Guillory, as always, man, great information. Thank you for hopping on. Go enjoy your weekend, sir. Thank you.
Appreciate you guys, man.
Yep, covers the NBA. The Heat, the Pelicans, for The Athletic, Mr. Will Guillory, and a brother, Martin Grant. I had to throw that in there as well. Open phone lines, Pels and Saints fans, if you'd like to chime in. What do you think of Peyton Turner not getting picked up that fifth-year option. We continue to talk Pelicans basketball here as well. Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Senator Big Mike Vesey for District 20 wishes all the best to both teams. Play hard, play fair, and may the best team win.
Attention, Blue Boot Rodeo family. This is Gavin Dugas, LSU baseball champion. Are you ready for a weekend of fun and purpose at the Blue Boot Rodeo? A fishing rodeo that combines family fun with drowning prevention awareness. On July 11th through the 13th at the Tarpon Pavilion in Grand Isle, Louisiana, join us for an unforgettable weekend filled with trophy-worthy fishing, live music, yummy food, and family fun activities, all in support of Riley Johns Blue Boot Foundation. Attending the rodeo is your chance to show support for an outstanding cause while enjoying a weekend of fishing and entertainment. By your support, imagine the impact we can make together in spreading awareness of drowning prevention. Don't miss this opportunity to be a part of something truly special. Purchase your tickets now at www.bluebootrodeo.com or at the rodeo. With your support, we can make the Blue Boot Rodeo the event of the year. Mark your calendars for July 11th through the 13th. Get your tickets and join us for a weekend that we will be talking about for the rest of the summer.
As a leader in the oil and gas industry, Joe's Septic Contractors caters to oil field clients offering vacuum truck service for offshore tanks, vessels, or treatment plants containing sewage or gray water. Their rental department offers state-of-the-art offshore portable toilets with cages and certified safety slings for easy maneuvering. Also holding tank rentals and portable hand washing stations. Call Joe's Septic Contractors 24-7 in Cutoff, Thibodaux, Fouchon, Abbeville Reserve, Odessa, Texas, and Pascagoula, Mississippi. Visit Joe's Septic at viscom.net.
Good afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
So let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
3 on the Rudiman Can caller and guest hotline. Hour 1 is brought to you by No Wake Outfitters. NoWakeOutfitters.com. Go check them out. The kayaks, the lessons, all of the different things you can get done over at 1926 Airline Drive. Got a pair of games tonight in the NBA playoffs. Pels fans, if you want to call it, NBA fans here as well. Also, Saints fans, as Peyton Turner's fifth year, that option was not picked up by the team. And again, as we talked with Ross Jackson, probably not surprising on that aspect of it, but it is still something to keep an eye on. And I don't know, what do you think? Does it say anything or does it not say anything about this team? And really, how much, I guess, patience do you have as a team? I don't know.
You guys obviously have to have a very short memory after this game. What's your message to them tonight to ensure that that happens going into Game 6?
I don't have a message.
That is Ty Lue, head coach of the Clippers, after the game Game 5 loss in L.A. said, I don't have a message when it comes to them. That is the 8:30 game tonight on ESPN. Clippers and Mavericks. Dallas leads that series 3-2. Cavaliers and Magic. The Cavs lead that series 3-2. This is in Orlando at 6 o'clock on ESPN. Reasons I kind of bring that up there as well. Again, like I was talking with Will Guillory, when you look at what Bobby Marks put up there, and he is a former GM exec analyst over on ESPN, and he was specifically talking about the teams that are the top 10 in salary in the NBA, and if that is the way to go. First off, let me ask Pels fans this. How many of y'all thought New Orleans was 9? Because I do get a sense and feel that a lot of Pelicans fans feel like the Pels just haven't spent any money. They're not throwing any money out. They have the 9th highest salary. Golden State 1, eliminated. Clippers 2, they're down 3-2. If they lose tonight, they're out. Number 3 team with the highest salary, Phoenix, eliminated. Boston has the 4th highest. They're going to move on. Milwaukee, eliminated. Denver, still alive at 6. 7th highest salary, Miami, eliminated. Lakers, eliminated at 8. Pels at 9, eliminated. And Philadelphia, 10, eliminated. Speaking of the Lakers and Heat, Evan Cohen this morning had something interesting in his mind.
I wish that we could just have an NBA head coaching trade. Doc Rivers for Darvin Ham makes so much sense for both teams right now. Darvin Ham is a longtime assistant with the Bucks under Mike Budenholzer. Doc Rivers in L.A. with LeBron. You know LeBron loves him. I'd like a coaching trade. That's what I'm proposing. Doc Rivers for Darvin Ham today.
You got to love it because it's all about the Lakers. Remember, it is all about the Lakers, what the Lakers need, what the Lakers have got to do. All of that is the key. I'd love to continue to talk about the Pels and the Saints, but we do interrupt our coverage for the latest on what the Lakers need to do because that is what we do. That is what's supposed to do. I don't know if y'all know I get that memo. I'm kidding. It almost feels like it, though, doesn't it? So here you go, Dave McManum, who covers the Lakers.
The Lakers are a glamour franchise. They like themselves to be considered that way. And you get a guy with some cachet in J.J. Redick, a good-looking guy, looks good in a suit. I mean, they did this with Pat Riley many, many years ago, right? And we saw how that worked out. J.J. certainly is a real candidate if they do open up this coaching search. And but there's you know, I'd say a half a dozen folks out there, included possibly the guy who just lost last night against the Mavericks, and Tyronn Lue. He's had 1 year remaining on his contract. What's going to happen with his deal with the Clippers?
J.J. Redick. Okay. If the Clippers lose tonight, could Tyronn Lue be an option? Also, though, you know who's a free agent? Paul George, Mona Shelburne, ESPN.
There's two teams right now that are paying very close attention to Paul George, the Orlando Magic and the Philadelphia 76ers, because both of them have the money to throw at him and have a need for a wing just like him, a veteran guy. Every time I watch the Sixers, I'm like, ooh, they could use Paul George.
There you go. Speaking of other possible moves here as well, it wouldn't be a daily show if I didn't give you my daily update on Labubu.
The name I want to throw out there, it never is going to happen, but it makes sense, is LeBron. Like, he's not going to leave L.A. I understand it. I just want you to indulge me for like 20 seconds here. How many teams can offer James, number one, the contract? Philadelphia can give him the money. They have the space, number one. Number two, the chance to legitimately compete for a championship, him alongside Embiid and Maxey, as well as some other players. Number three, they've got the picks to bring in his son, and I'm sure they'd be willing to do it considering how desperate everyone is. Number four, it's not necessarily like you're chasing a ring. You go to Philly, you take a downtrodden franchise that can't do anything in the postseason, you elevate them with your greatness. You take them and put them over the top. Now, I get it. He's never going to leave L.A. Fine. But damn, son, like, that fits. That's actually something that fits for everyone.
Fit. There you go. Just letting you know. That is the very latest when it comes to that there as well. So let's just throw in another player. Why not? Kendrick Perkins on another player that could be making some moves. And look, I will say this. A lot of people that cover the league do feel it's going to be, unlike last year, in the offseason, it was very quiet. You didn't have a lot of big names, big players, because they had already done that during the offseason. Remember Kyrie Irving to Dallas and Phoenix getting Beal and all that. So you kind of had a very quiet offseason in terms of player movement and stuff. But here's another one per Perk.
Jimmy Butler is aging, right? He's probably, outside of Kevin Love, the second oldest guy on that team. If you're Pat Riley, is Jimmy really your guy that's going to lead you to a championship? And if so, can he do it with Tyler Hero and Bam? Like, they got a lot of question marks over there. I'm pretty sure Jimmy is going to be looking for a contract extension. Do you pay him that, or do you do him right by saying, you know what, let me see what we can get for Jimmy? So I'm also looking at Philly for Jimmy Butler.
There we go. So Philly's got to get better. Everybody's getting better. You heard Will Guillory talk about Matt Ishbia, the Suns owner, who had his press conference, I think it was yesterday, and all is well. Nothing's wrong over there.
The narrative around the house is burning, it's incorrect. The Phoenix Suns are doing great. Excellent. Not as good as we want to be, and not as good as we're going to do next year, and that's what we're going to figure out. What do we got to tweak, modify, adjust to win a championship next year?
Mike Greenberg this morning disagrees.
The house is definitely on fire, okay? It is way on fire. Devin Booker looks like the last place on earth he wants to be is there. Kevin Durant looks like he's just, listen, give me the ball, let me do my thing outside of that whatever. He's solidifying. his reputation for what he is historically. Bradley Beal is always hurt. He is an injury waiting to happen and proved that again this year. They have, because they have those three guys, they are the last of the big threes in a league where everyone acknowledges the big three doesn't work anymore because of the things that the league has put in place to counteract it. So no, no one would, not everyone would trade rosters with you, not even close. If you want to just sit here and start naming rosters that their general manager wouldn't trade you for yours, it's going to be a lot more than three.
There it is. That brings it into hour number one. That was brought to you by No Wake Outfitters, NoWakeOutfitters.com. Go check them out online. All of different things from fly fishing, kayaking here in the Gulf South, on the Gulf Coast. They are the place, I promise. 1926 over there on Airline Drive. When we come back, Ralph Marlborough will join us. His thoughts on the Saints draft. How excited is he about, again, the greatest tight end of all time in the undrafted rookie free agent class? I say that in Justin, and I don't. I hope he is. Esparza at 115, we'll talk Kentucky Derby. 130, Corey Glore. 145, Jeff Boggs. That is hour two when we come back on ESPN New Orleans. It's Gus Kattengill with the Sports Hangover. Join us for